51 out of the black book. I'll praise my maker. While I have breath, when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler praise. My days of praise shall ne'er be past, while life and thought and being lasts, our mortality endures. To sing the first and last verse. I'll praise my Maker while I have breath, and when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler powers. My days of praise shall ne'er be past, while life and thought and being blessed for immortality. Him while he lends me breath, and when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler powers. My days of praise shall ne'er be bad, while I bear thought and being blessed or immortal.
All right, good morning, everyone. I'm not sure if an hour is going to be long enough, but we'll see how things go. So I'm really excited about singing this morning. I went through the whole book of Psalms and just read through the King James Version, and I wrote down all the songs that I know from Psalms that are heavily based on Psalms, at least. Wrote most of them down, or at least the ones that I knew we could sing as a congregation. And we're not going to sing all of them this morning, but we're going to try to hit a bunch of them as we're singing this morning. So that's one of our goals for this morning. Of course, the main goal this morning is just to praise God as we sing a bunch of songs that are based on the Psalms. A little bit of the order of how this is going to go. I'm going to lead about six songs, and then I asked Carl to lead two songs, or have two songs for us, so we'll let him do his two songs, and then Benjamin, I asked to do two songs, so I think he's singing with his family. We'll have your songs, Benjamin, after Carl's songs, and then we practice some songs with the youth, so we'll have the youth after that, and then I'll get up and lead the rest of the time, however much time we have left. So follow that order. Before we get started singing, let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, God, for this morning, and thank you so much for the rain, for everything that you give us, all the blessings you've given us, and our hearts are just overflowing with thankfulness to you, and we just want to express that this morning as we sing psalms to you. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us as we sing, help us to focus on the words that we're singing, and just really mean the words that we're singing this morning. We just want to praise you and worship you this morning, and we just ask that you would accept our worship and bless our time together here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I have a few songs, first of all, from your purple books, the Hymns of the Church. There are a few songs in here that are based on Psalms. So I'm kind of going to work backwards through the Psalms, actually, this morning. Get just kind of the way it worked out. So we're going to start with a song based on Psalm 148, one of the last Psalms. So turn to 100 in your Hymns of the Church. Number 100, this is based on Psalm 148. And I have lots of songs, so we're going to be skipping some verses this morning and working our way through. Let's sing verses 1 and 3 on number 100.
Now, praise the Lord, ye hymns adore. spoken for their God, yes, He hath been. Praise and honor, glory, blessing, Lord, we offer.
Next song is going to be 102, so just flip one page. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. This one is based on Psalm 148 also, so from the same psalm. We'll sing verses 1 and 3 on this one as well. 102.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, all ye heavens.
Next, go to number 92. Number 92. Why don't you guys stand? We should have been standing this whole time. You can stand. We'll sing number 92. Who can shout out what verse or what psalm this one comes from? 145. That's right. Comes from Psalm 145. And let's do 1 and 2 on this one. So the first two verses, and we'll stop there. Verses 1 and 2 on number 92.
No, I will extol Thee. Every day and evermore, Thy praises I
right, and number 705. Switching gears a little bit from praise to a song, just asking God to search our hearts. The first verse especially is taken almost directly from, or heavily based on, Psalm 139, where it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there's any wicked way in me," or something like that. This is based on that. So let's just sing the first verse here. The first verse especially is the verse I like. So verse 1 of 705. Sing this as a prayer to God this morning.
Search me, O God.
Hopefully you noticed that I put some papers on your chairs. So see if you can find those papers and make sure you all can see one. If you can't see one, there's probably some extra on some of the empty rows. The Psalms on this paper are taken almost directly from Scripture, but we'll be repeating some of the lines and few extra words thrown in here and there and stuff to make it flow nicely. So I just typed some of these songs out so that we can sing them more easily. So on your psalm lyric sheet, we're going to start at the bottom where it says, "Come bless the Lord." And how many of you know this song? "Come bless the Lord." Okay, we know this one. So we're going to have the men lead out, and then the ladies will do the repeat part. So men leading out, ladies repeating after the men. This is from Psalm 134, verses 1 and 2. All right, men starting.
Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night.
Let's go one up to the middle one, and this is from Psalm 122, where it says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." So I think you guys maybe kind of know this song. My wife knew a little bit shorter version of it, but this song repeats and repeats and repeats, and we eventually get to the end of that one short verse, okay? So you can, if you know the song, go ahead and help. If you're not sure, let me sing it through the first time, and then you can join in, or whatever works for you. But we're looking at the one there in the middle, 122. And then after this song is when we're going to have Carl and Benjamin lead there, so you can be ready after this song, Carl. All right, so here we go. This is how it goes.
I was glad when they said unto me, when they said unto me, when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Pretty simple, let's do that again.
I was glad when they said unto me, when they said unto me, when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
All right, you guys can be seated for now and turn the time over to Carl. And then as soon as Carl's done, Benjamin, you can do your songs, and then after that, it will be the youth. So.
Okay. Mine went to a very challenging song. Open your books to 1,000. Do you think we can do it? We split up in parts. Or is it more than we can bite off and chew?
I think we can do it.
Think we can do it?
Let's try.
Okay. Let's try it. Okay. Soprano, we'll split them. Soprano, alto, tenor, we'll split them in groups so we sort of kind of help each other along. So, just move quickly. We know what part we want to sing. So, that way we sort of can. Standing in the group. You've got to stand. Yeah. Sort of better. Okay, ready. Okay, Austin. We blew the pitch. Let's go down half a step. Unless you ladies folks can sing it at the right pitch. It goes high, as you all know. Yeah, let's go down half a step down.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. forever and ever.
Stay in your groups. Let's go 1012. The Easter anthem, the Lord is risen indeed. I don't think it's quite as complex. I do want to point out there on the four stanzas, it's a repeat there as well on the second page from NDD Rise down the grave. Again, it's a repeat. We repeat it. Then back on the last page. And he sees eternal youth. That's a repeat. And thine all the glory at the bottom. The last stanzas. Thine all the glory, man, the boundless bliss. That's another repeat. So, okay. Austin, you got a pitch? Okay, men. Oh.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The dead and become the first fruits of them that slept.
Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. death. He burst the bars of death and triumphed o'er the grave.
Sorry.
Once I sang the songs that spoke of emptiness, seeking earthly joys and fleeting happiness. As I sought for these, I fell into the snares of principalities and powers in the air. Then I saw the light was shining down on me. Now I sing the songs that Jesus gave to me. Till my race is run, my song shall ever be. Not what I have done, but what He's done for me. For He brought me up out of the miry clay, set me on the rock, and there I want to stay. Till He calls me home, where I shall ever be, singing praise to Him in perfect harmony. If your life has been a broken melody, music out of time and lacking harmony, ask the Lord today to help you change what's wrong. He will give to you a brand new happy song. Then someday we'll rise to meet Him in the air. Joyfully we'll join the choir over there.
Oh, what pitch was this? G, right?
Mm.
We look toward the western horizon on this morning of life so calm. We see the day of life unfolding with joy like a lovely song.
We thank thee, Lord, for thy rich promises. Tomorrow's way is bright today. Clear by tomorrow begins today. A promise true from him who does things well as westward through life we fly. No idle dreaming, no useless wandering, with our lives safely hid in God. Rich promises, tomorrow's way is bright today.
Help us to lift this vision clear up bright tomorrow begins today. Then on with life, for there are goals to reach, a purpose for every day. Our heart beats faster to know God's promises, for tomorrow begins today.
We thank thee, Lord,
for thy rich promises. Tomorrow's way is bright today.
Help us to
keep this vision clear, bright tomorrow begins today.
Okay, let's start with Be Exalted. It's 61. Number 61.
My soul.
63, I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
All right, now let's, I guess, see how many more of the rest of these we can fit in. Let's open your purple books again. And we're going to continue with number 401. 401, this is a song from Psalm 121, where it says, "Under the hills, I lift up my eyes, from whence cometh my help." So let's do number 401, verses 1 and 4. And some of you girls, feel free to put the descant in there on verse 4. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go.
Unto the hills around do I lift up my longing eyes. All ends for me shall my salvation come from whence arise, from God the Lord come my
Let's get out our black books for a song. We're still kind of working backwards through the Psalms here. Our next song is going to be 71 in the Christian hymnary. And it's based on Psalm 117. number 71. Based on Psalm 117, Oh Praise the Lord. In your black books, number 71. Let's watch the rest on this song. We have a bunch of quarter rest, so let's try to be silent when we get to the rest. And just watch those.
No.
To practice.
No.
Alright, let's go back to, actually let's do this one. Get out your King James Bibles, if you have them. And some of the songs we're going to try to sing are come basically straight out of the King James version of the Bible. And so we'll just try to sing it from there. Make sure I find my spot here. Okay. Psalm 113. So head to Psalm 113. And we're going to be singing verse 3, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. So we're going to sing basically those same words, except we'll say the name of the Lord instead of the Lord's name. And so it's going to be, we're going to sing it through, and then we'll sing it through. We end up saying the words twice. So hop in if you know the tune, and if not, you can listen and we'll sing it again once you know it. So Psalm 113, verse 3.
From the rising of the sun to the going down of
right, while we're in our Bibles, let's just jump to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and there's a little song we know, I think we know, from this psalm. We'll end up singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then jumping down to verses 7, and then, verses 7 and 8, yeah. So verses 1 through 4, and then jumping down to verses 7 and 8. Psalm 34.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Something like that. Got it a little low, I think. Okay. And let's see if there are any more from the Bible that we can sing. Yeah, let's do chapter 25, yeah. Psalm 25. And there's various of these verses that have been sung in a song. We're going to start at verse 1. So we're in Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in thee. So we're going to sing, we'll sing verse 1 as our first verse. We keep coming back to verse 2 as our little chorus that we keep coming back to. We keep coming back to verse 2. Unto thee, O Lord, verse 1, and then we'll go to verse 3. Yea, let none that way on thee be ashamed. Verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths, O Lord. We'll sing like that. From verse 4, we'll jump down to verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth. And then verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Okay? So basically verses 1, 3, 4, 7, and 10, and coming back to verse 2 for our chorus. So the men will lead out, and then the ladies do the repeat part.
Unto thee, O Lord,
unto thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul.
Unto thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul.
Oh, my God,
I trust in thee.
Let me not be ashamed, let not my head.
Let none that way on thee be ashamed. Oh, my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Show me thy way.
Let me not be ashamed.
5 minutes left. Let's do the other one on your... No, wait, we're going to save that one for last. Never mind. Let's get out your Hymns of the Church again and do number 61. So back to Hymns of the Church. That's not right. Okay, it's Psalm 61. 475 is the number in your books. 475. I will abide in that dwelling place forever is taken from Psalm 61. And it's number 475 in the Hymns of the Church. I will abide in that dwelling place forever. Let's sing verses 1 and 3, and then again on verse 3, some of you ladies can do the descant part. 475. This isn't the same one we sang before, is it? Okay, it's two songs for the descant. Mm-hmm.
I will abide in thy dwelling place forever. I will lay trust and there thy cover claim. For thou, O God, hast heard me, thou hast given the heritage of those that fear thee.
unfortunately, our time is almost up. Let's end with the last song on your papers. So find those lyric papers again. And I'll find mine. And let's sing the first song on the paper, Surely Goodness and Mercy. So follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is taken from Psalm 23. It's one of many songs taken from Psalm 23. Unfortunately, we don't have time to sing all of those this morning, but we'll sing this one. Okay, so we'll just jump in here, and you guys can pick up if you know it.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days.
Down a little bit.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone. It is really good to be here. I have been struggling with sickness lately, and I wasn't sure if, you know, how this week was going to go, or this weekend was going to go, this Sunday was going to go. I kept thinking I was going to get better, and it keeps dragging on and on. So I wasn't able to take part in the singing like I would have liked to, but it was kind of fun to just imagine I was in a nursing home and you all were coming to sing for me. And so thank you for that. It was beautiful singing. All those psalms, that was a blessed hour spending together. Just a couple of announcements. We have a real nursing home singing coming up, I believe this coming Wednesday. So if you want to go sing at Timberview in Albany this coming Wednesday evening at 6:50 in Albany. And then we have... Oh, also tonight is I got a call from Amos Krupp. Everyone's invited to go up there for if this last hour was just whetting your appetite for singing, and you want to go join some more singing, you can do that up at the Red Barn Church this evening at 6:00. I don't know of any other announcements. Is there anything else that the rest of you be announced?
Well, the praise and worship service.
the 29th of November here.
Yes.
Okay.
So, again, come prepared to share. It's more like a family-oriented service, so come prepared to share voluntarily.
Okay.
So,
what time is that?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock PCA on the 29th, and that's a Friday night. Friday night. Okay.
So share with families and you're at whatever you share, and we'll have it presented on the overhead. Just on paper form, I ditched the transparency idea. I think I've got a better idea. So just out of the book. And it don't have to be only songs. It can be poems, scriptural reading, responsive reading. Yeah. Just whatever, some praise and worship our God for who God is.
Amen.
And
would that be the day after Thanksgiving then?
Yes.
Day after Thanksgiving, okay. Okay, thank you. Yep. Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
I know a lot of people are sick, but my daughter's having a really hard time keeping anything down.
Okay. Yep, we'll pray for her. Maybe we'll do that in just a moment. We'll stand and have prayer together, but before we do, any other announcements? Okay. Well, why don't we stand? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask for your presence here this morning. We thank you that we could enter into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, because you are worthy. And Lord, we just pray for Benjamin's daughter, Bella. I pray for that she could keep things down, that whatever sickness is there, you would take it away. I also thank you for giving me strength to make it here this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be just to have the strength that we need to get through this next rest of the service, Lord, whether it's an hour or however long it is. We just pray, God, that you would guide and direct, and I pray that something that would be shared here this morning would make a difference in the lives of those that are here. I just ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us. And Lord, we just pray for healing. Maybe there's others that need healing of whatever it is, Lord. Physical sickness, emotional sickness, spiritual sickness. We pray, Lord, that you, the great healer, would come and minister to us. We thank you, Lord, that you do heal. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, that you are worthy. For all those praises that we sang and a million times more, you would be worthy of every moment of praise that we could offer to you. And so, Lord, I just ask you to come and guide us right now. We just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if we could start this morning with just a little bit of history review and see how many of you might know, if I give you a date, what it was that happened. I wonder if there's anybody 20 years old and younger who could tell me what happened on April 14, 1912. Does anybody have any idea? April 14, 1912. If you're 20 years old and younger, anybody know what might have happened on that date? You're welcome to cheat and talk to your people beside you. Titanic. Okay. Yeah, the Titanic sank on April 14, 1912. 1,500 people died or so on that disaster. How about this one? December 7, 1941. Does anybody know what happened on that date? Pearl Harbor. Do you know how many people died in Pearl Harbor on that date? Around 20, what's it?
I thought it was around 3,500.
I have down around 2,400, but I think that might have been the military. So was there civilians that died as well? I'm not sure. How about this one? I think we're getting easier as we go forward. September 11, 2001. Twin Towers. Twin Towers collapsed when some airplanes hit them, and also the Pentagon and a few other things. And there was almost 3,000 people that died in that event. How about this one? August 21, 2017.
Eclipse.
That's right. August 21, 2017. Now, if you look at these events and ask which one was the biggest, you know, we could go by how many people died, but in a sense, that eclipse was a far bigger event than any of those other things. We're talking about a moon and a sun and those little twin towers, that little Titanic boat. Everything was real small compared to the moon and the sun. So we're going to talk about an eclipse here for just a moment. Got a few minutes, maybe. And what is it that makes an eclipse? Anybody know what causes an eclipse, or that causes the kind of eclipse we saw on that day? There's a couple different kinds of eclipse, but what caused that? Does anybody know?
Moon got in the way of the sun.
Very simple. Okay, so we're going to just talk about that for a little bit, and I'm going to draw some things up here on the board to kind of illustrate how this looks. If we were to draw a moon up here on the chalkboard, and we'll just make it about an inch in diameter. This quarter is roughly an inch, so make it nice and round. Okay, that's the moon right there. You go up there in the sky, and we look at it, it looks a lot bigger than that, so that's obviously, but there it is. You can all see it from where you're sitting. Now, compared to that moon then, if we were to draw the Earth up there where we reside, where we live, how big would the Earth have to be? So I've got this other circle that we're going to make the Earth. Now this, the moon is roughly 2,000 miles in diameter across. And so this, the Earth, needs to be four times the size this is about four. So you got about one inch more or less. This is 4 inches more or less. And so, let's see if we can do this. We've got this 4-inch circle and a broken piece of chalk. And, okay, so that's the Earth. And there's us standing there looking out at the moon, okay? So, and the moon looks pretty big in the night sky. You know, it comes up and it's big and orange sometimes. Then it turns white as it gets higher in the sky. And so that's a little bit to scale what's going on. So now we need to draw one more ball up there on the blackboard, and that would be the sun. And the question is, how big would we need to draw the sun if the Earth is 4 inches and the moon is 1 inch? How big would the sun be? Well, let's give it a try. I'm not sure how this is going to go, but I think it would look something about like this. Another broken piece of chalk. Now, that's a circle that's 36 feet tall. It would go up, say, 26 feet into the... This moon here blot out the sun. When it's that size, here we are on this Earth, and we're looking out there, and this moon comes around and it sits right there in front of the sun, it seems like it'd be really easy to see the sun even if the moon is in the way. It's like, well, how is that possible for it to blot it out? Well, the answer is this is to scale to size, roughly. This is the size of the Earth, the size of the moon, the size of the sun. But it's not to scale the distance.
distance would be, but put the sun way, 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 way further out there so that they look about the same size. The moon and the sun from the earth look roughly the same size one to another. Not because they are the same size. The earth is, the sun is, you know, in diameter 400 times bigger than the moon in diameter. Now, if you say, if you take the actual volume of it, I don't know how you calculate that, but it's millions and millions and millions of times bigger. Okay, because you take that 400 and then you got to take it, you have to cube it maybe, I'm not sure. But it's way, way, way bigger. But in diameter, it's about 400 times bigger. Okay? And is this not working? No, I mean, it says green. Anyway. But it's 400 times further away. So when you take the moon that's 400, the sun that's 400 times bigger than the moon in diameter, but it's also 400 times further away, now you can have an eclipse. Now you can have the moon pass in front of the sun, and it just perfectly fills up the diameter looks roughly the same from where we sit. You can do the same thing if you want to with, let's see, I had one other thing here that I was going to dig out. Well, I had a penny up here, but you can do roughly the same thing with a penny. Here it is. You can create your own eclipse if you want to. So now, in order to do this, you need to have either like your arm would need to be about 7 feet long. That would be one way to do it. So if you're that tall, you could do it or figure something out. But if I had my arm 7 feet long, and I could stretch out this penny like this and go out into the night sky, and I could move the penny there and close one eye, and the penny would just perfectly fill up that moon and blot it out. And is that because the penny is the same size as the moon? No, it's nowhere near the size of the moon. But the reason is it's way closer than the moon. 7 feet is a lot closer than the distance of the moon, which is about 240,000 miles away. And the moon is way closer than the sun. The moon is 240,000 miles away. The sun is 400 times that, about 93 million miles from us. So if the penny, by bringing it up that close, can actually blot out the moon, if the moon, by bringing it up that close to the earth, can actually create a solar eclipse, then what can we learn from that? You say, well, this is interesting stuff here, but how does this apply in, I thought you were going to be preaching a sermon here this morning. Well, I am. You know, we have God created. I kind of think he did that on purpose. I really believe God wanted the moon and the sun to be roughly the same size so there could be solar eclipses. I think he wanted them to be roughly the same size. Again, I don't know why exactly, but there's other things that we run into in life that have some parallels. Now, I'm going to stop in just a moment. We're just going to leave that whole illustration. You can just forget about that for a moment. We'll come back to it after a little bit. But I'd like to talk about this issue of sin. Sin is an ugly thing, and we talk about it being ugly. But in spite of all the talk about how ugly sin is, more and more people are going into sin in a huge way. I read an article here just this past week about this issue of pornography, and especially that now that that online pornography is a thing over the last, I don't know, 20 years or 30 years or whatever it's been, 68% of people have admitted using this regularly. And that's like 75% men, 40% of women. But that was not the most shocking thing. The most shocking thing was that 54% of Christians admitted using it. And only 14% expressed a sincere desire to eliminate it from their lives altogether. Now, how is that possible when there's so much warning about it? I mean, I know growing up, I would hear the word about, you know, porn and how ugly it is and how wicked it is. Not just porn, but drunkenness. It's ugly, it's wicked, it's gross. Not only that, gambling. Not only that, drugs. You know, we'd hear about drugs. We'd hear about tobacco. We'd hear about marijuana. And all this stuff is painted in ugly pictures. Okay? It's ugly. We don't want anything to do with it. And I sometimes wonder if our children grow up hearing those things as they come up, little up, they hear those words. This is ugly. This is gross. This is disgusting. But there's another side to sin that they never hear. And that is that there's pleasure in sin. And as they grow up hearing about these things and how ugly they are, they stumble across it. Maybe somebody gives them a drink of alcohol. Maybe somebody gives them drugs. Maybe they get exposed to pornography. And they discover something that mom and dad never told them. They discover there's pleasure in sin. And this shocks them. They think, well, maybe my mom and dad don't know that there's pleasure in sin. Maybe the preachers don't know that there's pleasure in sin. Maybe I'm the only one who knows this. And they discover this and it creates, you know, they feel maybe cheated because they weren't told. And they get hooked on it. And now what are they going to do with this? And so I want to take this opportunity this morning to tell all of us, most of us already know this, but especially anybody who is growing up in our circles, who has heard the warnings and the ugliness of sin, I want to tell you there's pleasure in sin. There is. I don't want to be dishonest about that. There's pleasure in sin. The Bible admits there's pleasure in sin. Hebrews 11:25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction, this is Moses, with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin. So there's pleasure for a season, it says. And then Proverbs 9:17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Titus 3:3 talks about the pleasures of sin. It says how we are, you know, we are, I'm going to try to quote it, but I'm going to read it. I think it'd be better if I would just go ahead and read it here. It says, you know, in former times, we were enslaved with all these, you know, diverse lusts and desires, Titus 3:3. For we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So there are pleasures in sin. And, you know, we could talk about so many different kinds of sin. We could talk about, like I said, we talked about drugs and alcohol. We could talk about witchcraft. I mean, people get into these things for a reason. There's pleasures involved. Adultery, greed, lying, stealing, covetousness. Those things bring pleasure. They do. There's gluttony, you know, drunken. We could even things like anger and revenge have a measure of pleasure behind them. And when people discover it on their own, they think, well, you know, again, I've been lied to. I haven't heard that there was pleasure in sin. But I have. Okay, so that's point number one. I wanted to tell you there is pleasure in sin, and I don't want you to be in the dark about that. But I have another thing I'd like to share with you. Sin brings pleasure, number one, but sin brings consequences, number two. And those consequences, sometimes they're short term. A person sins and then their conscience starts to bother them. Or they get caught and they got to pay a fine. Sometimes those consequences are long term. Long term relationships disintegrate as a result of sin. And sometimes those consequences are eternal. The consequences of sin often stay with a person forever. And so we heard a sermon here by Brother Jeremy here, what was it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago. He talked about hell. He talked about the torment of hell. And, you know, that's one of the consequences of sin. And, this horrible place that God prepared for the devil and his angels, and it's one of the consequences of sin. And now we have these two things up that are absolutely true, and I want you to know that they're true. I want you to know that sin brings pleasure. I want you to know that sin has consequences. But now here's the question. Are those two things equal? The pleasures of sin and the consequences of sin. And look up here on the board for just a moment. Here's the moon. Here's the sun. Are they equal? They're not equal at all. And yet the moon is close enough to the earth that for a brief 3.5 minutes back on August 27 of 2017, they looked equal. The moon was able to blot out the sun completely. You saw just a little ring of fire around there, but other than that, it was completely blotted out. And that's how these pleasures of sin act upon the consequences of sin. Why do people, if people know that there's consequences of sin, why would they ever choose the pleasures of sin if the pleasures of sin are so much smaller than the consequences? The reason is because the pleasures are so much closer. They're that much closer to our eyes that just like this penny could blot out the moon if I hold it right there, even though it's much smaller. People are choosing the pleasures of sin. They're that much, they're so close to my eyeball that it looks just about the same. I don't know. Do I choose the pleasures of sin or don't I? I don't know. They go back and forth. Do I follow sin or do I respond to the fear of God? And you know, one of these consequences of sin is the giving up of all the pleasures that God has for you. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, God says. And we're giving that up. That's one of the consequences. But somehow those consequences of sin are the pleasures of sin are blotting out the consequences of sin. So why is it this way? Why does God allow us to live in a universe, a world, where the pleasures of sin can blot out, at least in our vision, the consequences of sin? And I don't know the answer to that. But just like he created the moon to be the perfect distance from the earth and the sun, so it's able to create an eclipse, I wonder if God said, pleasures of sin, I could take them away. He could make sin utterly disgusting, even the first taste to be disgusting to all of us. He could have made it that way. A lot of times you go, you know, people down in Belize, when we were down there, there was this poison that they had called Gromoxone. I'm not sure how to say that, but it was a common pest herbicide, and it would way quicker than Roundup. It would just burn back the plants. You know, as soon as you'd spray it, just within hours, it would be dead, and people sometimes would commit suicide by drinking this stuff. There was a neighbor man just up the road who tried to commit suicide. He grabbed some of that. Or maybe he was drunk and he thought it was something else in there. I'm not sure. But I think they managed to get him to the hospital in time to save his life. But that kind of stuff typically doesn't taste good. These poisons that are out there that are, they'll kill people instantly, you know, you smell them from a mile away and they smell like poison. I mean, they don't smell good at all. But for someone to, you know, actually pick it up and drink it, either he's got to be drunk or he's got to be so depressed that he's willing to kill himself, something. And but sin is not that way. Sin actually has a good taste to it at the very beginning. And, you know, then you go on and you read through Proverbs and you read, like, at the end, though, it, you know, it bites like a serpent. It hurts. It's the consequences of sin are so much greater than the pleasures of sin. And that's what you know, but back to the question of why did God set it up this way? Why did God make it so that the distances are so great that it almost looks the same? From our standpoint, the moon and the sun, you know, they look roughly the same size. I don't know, make them round here, but let's just pretend those are the same size, okay? You know, the sun has a few more, you know, it's a little brighter than the moon. But, you know, from our standpoint, that's how they look. But that's not reality at all. And it's not that reality when people look at the pleasures of sin and the consequences of sin. It's not reality either to say that the two are even close to equal. But God has set it up, I think, part of the reason was He wants us to choose. He wants us to have a clear choice. And we can either exercise faith in Him and what He says, or we can, you know, believe our own passions and our own lusts and our own desire. We can follow, you know, follow everything that the world has to offer. And you know, it when you're in the middle of an eclipse, and this moon is, you know, so close that it's blotting out that entire sun. You know, I suppose nobody was deceived this way. Everybody knew the sun was still there, but, you know, during the eclipse, you could probably start to think, yeah, I wonder if the sun even really exists. I wonder if, you know, I can't see it anymore. The moon is blotting it out. Maybe it's not really there after all. And so that's the way it is with sin, too. The pleasures of sin, you know, we can start to ask the question, well, does these consequences that God talks about, is that really true? Is there really a hell? Is there really will this really ruin my relationships? Will it really have the consequences that God says it will have? And we have to exercise faith. We have to believe God that, yes, what He says really is true. And Moses had to exercise that. He had to choose. He says, I can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, or I can choose to accept the reproach of Christ with the people of God. And he chose to forgo the pleasures of sin for a season and to reject the pleasures of Egypt. He chose to follow God and suffer with the people of God. And I would encourage us, let's do the same thing. Look around that moon. Don't let the moon, the pleasures of sin, blot out your vision of the consequences of sin. Don't let it blot out the glory of God and all the things that God has for you if you can forego that and follow Him. And so the first point again, I want to be sure that you know that there are pleasures in sin. I don't want you to find that out on your own. I want a preacher to tell you. I want your parents to tell you. I want Christian people to tell you that there are pleasures in sin. But I also want those same people to tell you that there are consequences to sin, and the consequences are so much greater than the pleasures. We have examples of people in the Bible who had to make that choice. David was faced with the temptation with Bathsheba, and he had to make a choice. Do I take the pleasures of sin? He did. And then he got hit with the consequences. And the consequences were so much greater. Solomon and all his wives and the idolatry he got into. There was a story I listened to the other day. It was called Rescued. This was George actually sent me a link to it. And it was this church group was on a submarine. They were off on the, I don't know, some the Bahamas or someplace. And anyway, they were on this submarine, a church group, the pastor, and, you know, about, I don't know, a dozen or so of the people in his church. And this submarine got hit by another boat and it sank. But it had air trapped in there, so they could keep on talking and, you know, breathing for a while. But the oxygen was getting less and less and less as they were down there. And they had communications down there. They could talk to the people even all the way back in their home congregation. And, you know, some of these people that were trapped in the submarine were sincere Christians. But some of them were hypocrites. The pastor himself, he had a year or two before, he had divorced his wife and married his secretary. And he had even justified it. He called it, well, that's just God's best. And as the story unfolds, and this is obviously, maybe I shouldn't say obviously, but it is fiction. It wasn't a true story. But he was shocked when he woke up in hell after the oxygen run out, and he came to in hell. And here he sees one of his good buddies who was, you know, a good church member, but, you know, just kind of pulled some shady deals and given into sin. And he was there. And you know, he saw all these people. They didn't expect to be in hell. And he himself felt this terror. And now, while he was there having this, I guess you could call it a near-death experience, somehow his son, who had not been in the submarine, was able to get down there and resuscitate him, at least temporarily. And so after he had resuscitated him and he came back from that experience, he talked to his people back home again and talked to them about how he had sinned and he had sinned against them and talked about how he had not been a true Christian. Even as a pastor of their church, he had done things that God had forbidden. And one of them was, again, this divorce and this remarriage. And so, again, this warning, the sin that they were in, this pleasures of sin, don't let it blot out these consequences. Look past that. Even if the moon happens to be just perfectly aligned with the sun for 3.5 minutes on a nice, clear, sunny day, look past it. Look at the sun. Look at the consequences. Look at what God has for you. Let your faith overcome the pleasures and look at what really is going on. Change your focus. That's my challenge here. Instead of looking at the moon full of pleasures, look at the consequences of sin, which are much, much, much larger. And look at the pleasures that God offers you. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We had a taste of that this morning while you all were singing to me. I was listening. It almost felt like I could concentrate on the words better even though I would have loved to be singing, but I just couldn't. And it was, you know, can you imagine just the pleasures at God's right hand forevermore, singing and singing with a perfect voice. All of us, you know, in that context, every one of us, I think, will have probably singing abilities we don't have now. And that'll be a wonderful thing. But it's for those who are faithful. It's for those who forego the pleasures of sin. And, you know, this, and they say, you know what, I recognize what God says. Even though I don't like these consequences, they're there. And the thing about the consequences of sin, you know, they grow. A person who sins, he brings consequences on him the moment he sins. But then that thing starts to earn interest and it starts to double in size and triple in size. And the longer it goes from the time that he sins until it gets exposed, you know, he waits a day and then he waits a week and he waits a month and a year and it just keeps growing, the consequences of sin. It's so much better to stop those consequences from growing, to confess immediately. Stop it now. Stop the, you know, to repent immediately. Because the longer it goes, the more the consequences grow. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's what Jesus said. Deny yourself. It's not fun to deny yourself, but Jesus said to do it. If you all would turn to Galatians 5, I'd like to read some verses together here. Galatians 5. And let's read these verses all together, starting with verse 16. And we're going to go up through verse 25. And I'm reading in the King James. So if you have one that's hopefully that or something close. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 25. Let's read all together. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You can read the last verse if you want. I said let's go through 25. What is the last verse? I don't have it written down here. Let's go ahead. You guys read it. Verse 26. There we go. That's a good one, too. In closing, we're going to stand and pray. And I don't know, because I don't really want you guys to catch whatever it is I have, whether I'll stay around very long after the service. But we're going to stand and pray, and I'm going to sit down. If anybody has anything else you'd like to say, we'll maybe just open up for a little bit. Austin, you have a song we can close on then after that. So we'll close with a song at the end. But why don't we, first of all, let's stand for prayer. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we want to stand in the fear of God. We are here for you. We're not here for ourselves. We are thankful, Lord, for the universe as you have created it, and some things we don't always understand. We don't understand exactly why the moon can blot out the sun sometimes, but it does, and we give you glory for that. Lord, we don't understand why there are pleasures in sin, but there are, and we want to be among those who exercise faith and see beyond those pleasures and choose the fear of God. I pray for each person here that you would speak to us. I pray that you would bring revival among us. I pray that you would bring repentance among us. I pray that you would work in our midst. We just commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, once again, I'm going to sit down. If there are comments, feel free to make them. If there aren't any, then Austin, if you just have a song in closing. That's great.
Me as a parent, I know that pleasures. Really enjoy analogies. And I never really thought about that one, but that one's going to stick. Thanks, Roger, for bringing that one out.
I like the reason he gave, or the illustration of the poison. What if God would have made it so that the pleasures and the consequences, or what if he did make just sin just really nasty and there wouldn't be any pleasure in it? Think about how much less glory that would bring to God. Hardly anyone would sin, right? If they knew as soon as they sinned they were going to be killed, or it was going to be there'd be in terrible pain and die or whatever as soon as they sinned, probably hardly anyone would sin. Think about how much more glory it brings God when we just read his word and it says, thou shalt not do this. And because we believe God, we obey that, even though we can't see all the consequences and we might not experience too many consequences for a while. I think that's why he made it that way, to bring more glory to him, so that we have faith in what he said and just believe it. So thank you for that sermon, Roger. All right, let's end with turning your Christian hymnary to 861. Greta, I thought of that song again that you mentioned too. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. It's a good thought to think of after hearing a sermon like that. And then this song, 861, this can be your testimony. If you are in sin, you don't have to stay there. And this is another song from the Psalms. It talks about being in the pit of despair and whatever in the psalm. Let me see here which psalm it is. Psalm 40 verses 2 and 3 talk about being in the pit of despair, and then this song talks about how he brought me out. This is the song of testimony. 861, let's sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Sing verses 1, 2, and 3, 861. In the black books.
My heart was distressed in Jehovah's red crown, and lo, in the pit where my sins drag me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep my return. He tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established and here I'll abide. No danger and falling, while here I remain, but stand by his grace until the crown I gain. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Song was a new song of praise. By day and by night its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah.
You are dismissed.
If you want to leave, I'll leave your lyric sheet.